Today is the second Sunday of Lent, and these are the announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. Benediction of the Blessed Sacrament will be this evening at 6 p.m. Monday, as usual, we will have cleaning of the chapel after the 8:30 a.m. Mass. Thursday, there's no scheduled Mass, but we will have Holy Hour and Benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 7 p.m. First Friday, Mass will be at 8:30 a.m., followed by a conference and the Rosary. And Stations of the Cross will be at 7 p.m., followed by Benediction of the Blessed Sacrament and Confessions. For Saturday, Mass will be at 8:30 a.m. Confessions will be heard at 8 o'clock a.m. and then after the 8:30 a.m. Mass, before and after the Mass. So just to recap, there will be blessing of articles after Mass today, benediction tonight at 6 p.m., Monday, cleaning of the chapel after the 8:30 Mass. No Mass on Thursday, but we will have Holy Hour and Benediction at 7 p.m. First Friday, the Mass is changed to 8:30, followed by a conference and the Rosary, and then Stations of the Cross and Benediction and Confessions at 7 p.m. that evening. And then first Saturday, Mass at 8:30, Confessions starting at 8 a.m., and then after the Mass, for as long as they need to be heard. The feast for today, or this week, Thursday, March 4th, St. Casimir and St. Lucius. Saturday, March 6th, is Saints Perpetua and Felicitas. I'm not going to go into their story, don't have time to do that, but I would highly recommend reading the story of Saints Perpetua and Felicitas. It's a very moving account about two Christians who were imprisoned and formed a bond in prison. One was a noblewoman, Saint Perpetua, who was nursing a child, and one was a slave who was pregnant. And the account I read was very beautiful, without going into the details, how they were frightened of what was coming and how they encouraged each other. They were martyred in Carthage in an amphitheater by a wild bull. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Brethren, even as you have learned from us how you ought to walk and to please God, as indeed you are walking, we beseech and exhort you in the Lord Jesus to make even greater progress. For you know what precepts I have given to you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from immorality, that every one of you learn how to possess his vessel in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and overreach his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things. As we have told you before and have testified, for God did not call us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 to 9. At that time, Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John, and led them up a high mountain by themselves, and was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as snow. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elias talking together with him. Then Peter addressed Jesus, saying, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us set up three tents, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. As he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And on hearing it, the disciples fell on their faces and were exceedingly afraid. And Jesus came near and touched them and said to them, Arise, do not be afraid. But lifting up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus alone. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus cautioned them, saying, Tell the vision to no one till the Son of Man has risen from the dead. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. So, brethren, we're only one full week through Lent. And Holy Mother, the Church, gives us this gospel account to help console us, to help sustain us. Our Lord is a little worried we're not going to make it, that we will start to compromise on our resolutions, on the penances that we took on at the beginning of Lent. And so we're given this as an encouragement. The Church Fathers, speaking about this account, tell us why these three apostles were chosen by our Lord, separated from the rest. We have St. Peter, the head of the apostles, St. James, the Son of Thunder, as our Lord nicknamed him, who was the first apostle to shed his blood for Christ. And then St. John, the beloved disciple, the one who rested his head on our Lord's heart at the Last Supper. These three were chosen to see a glimpse of the divinity, see our Lord drop his guard, so to speak, allow his divine nature to shine through his human nature. And they were also selected a few days later, these three, because they were the three that witnessed the degradation and the scandal of our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was at his weakest in his human nature, when he sweat blood. So this first privilege was given to them to sustain them through this trial. And brethren, it's given to us for the same reason at the beginning of Lent, to carry us through, so that we have our eyes on the goal. We see a glimpse of that glorification prefiguring the resurrection, Christ's glorified body, our glorified body, one day. So that all those things that happen to us in between here and our goal can all be put in perspective. The last in the order of execution is the first in the order of intention. What St. Thomas means when he says that is that our goal, which is the very first thing in our mind, is the very last thing we achieve. But we should always keep it first in our mind. If we were to walk out this door and decided to hike this mountain over here, the first thing in our mind would be the goal. We want to reach the summit. All the planning and all the work that goes into it would be to serve that goal. And Lent is like this. It's like the ascent of a mountain. We're right at the base right now. We've got a long way to go. But all those sacrifices that we receive, if we take them, accept them with the correct attitude, they are all serving to achieve that goal. This is the way human nature works. We always have it first in our mind, and this is the reason the church accommodates herself to us. She structures this liturgical season in this way. So that if we are going to unite with Christ in his glory, we will be able to unite with him in his sufferings. And we all have plenty of opportunities to do that, don't we? Especially this last year. Many of us have had to sacrifice a great deal. This time last year, I would have been preaching to empty pews. Just 2 days ago, I was standing with the seminarians during the Stations of the Cross, and the thought crossed my mind how beautiful and moving that devotion is. Even as a child, somewhere in the back, when I would attend stations, I found those meditations very moving. And as I was standing there 2 days ago, I thought, I really have to take advantage of these graces when they're available, because they might not always be available to us. God could decide to take them away. He's done it before. Because that was the first Stations of the Cross we've had in 2 years. And we are blessed to have it. And what about the Mass? Speaking of the means given to us to achieve that goal of union with Christ, there's no better tool than the Mass. We sit here just feet away from the grace of our salvation. And these Masses, along with all the other practices of Lent, they can be used to bring us closer to that goal, or they can be wasted. It's said that St. Mary Magdalene, we have her statue in the back, St. Mary Magdalene made up for all the sins of her life, and they were numerous, most likely more numerous than most of ours. She made up for all the sins of her life in 3 hours. When she knelt at the foot of the cross, with her head bowed, listening to the drops of the precious blood hit the ground in front of her. Knowing that she was the reason they were being shed. That you're the reason. If we take full advantage of these Masses, we can receive the same graces. We're at the foot of the cross right now. We're on Calvary. The same sacrifice is being offered. The same blood. God alone knows how much progress could be made with one Mass if it's attended in a devout way, with full attention. We could reach that summit in an hour and a half. Without the obstacles we put in its way. So don't let these practices go by, whether it is the sacrifices the church imposes on us, fasting and abstinence during Lent, those we place on ourselves, those things we give up, bring us closer to God, separate us from the world, or especially those things that we're forced to endure. Those are the tough ones. We want to always find someone who is the culprit. My life would be so much better if this person wasn't treating me that way. But if we see it in its true light, that all these things come from God, all these things are remedies from our divine physician, then both the consolations that we receive and the trials bring us closer and closer, bring us farther up that ascent. Because the suffering and the glory, the transfiguration, the passion, they're intimately tied, they're united. Can't have one without the other. We cannot rise with new life at the end of Lent unless we're nailed to the cross. And if we have the correct attitude, we take these sacrifices in stride, offer them up, then we begin to live that glorified state on earth in some way. Peace in hardship, joy in adversity. That's what Lent is all about, a 40-day retreat. Separate us from the world. Shake us out of our apathy of our workaday existence. A few days ago at the table, our Father Superior was telling a story from a book that he read when he was in his teens. It was written by Reverend Richard Warmbrand, Protestant minister, evangelical. He was Romanian, and he lived during the Great Purge of Stalin, and he spoke out against the persecution of the Christians in his country by the communists. And because of it, he was considered an enemy of the state and imprisoned. He and many of his Protestant peers. And in this prison in Romania, he and his Protestant friends shared it with Catholics. And he said, "We all suffered a lot. It was extremely difficult for all of us." But he said, "We," meaning the Protestants, "we would look at those Catholics, laymen, priests, and nuns." He said, "We were in awe." No one suffered like they did. So we endured. We endured our crosses. They embraced them. And he said, as the priest would walk down the hallway, he said, I couldn't even look them in the face. Couldn't even make eye contact. We were so reverential. The way he described it, get this. The way he described it, it was as if they were radiant. That's us. Maybe not in a communist prison camp. Maybe. But with the trials of our own life, we can reach that glory right now. So let's go back to the foot of the cross and spend these last minutes in the greatest devotion we can muster. Don't let it go to waste. May God bless you.